Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Doug Showers, and right now you are listening to Keep It Cool Christian Podcast. I want to say thanks to those that are tuning in, and I want to say thanks to those that checked out the latest episode, God, Grief, and Mourning. On that episode, I touched on the difference between grief and mourning. You know, grief is what you deal with internally, with your feelings and your thoughts, and mourning is the expression of your grief. And that episode was just such an eye opener just for me, because understanding the two, because I used to get the two confused as if they were just one and the same, but they're really not. You know, it's one thing to internalize your feelings, but it's also important to express your feelings, express your mourning, express your grief and things that you're dealing with. So I hope that episode was a blessing to you. So let's go ahead and get right into today's episode. I'm excited. This episode today, I want to talk about something that a lot of us deal with in today's society, especially being a follower of Christ in today's society. And a lot of us are dealing with trying to navigate through being mistreated, misunderstood, talked about, lied on, all of these things, overlooked, bullied. This episode is called Blood on the Cross. Blood on the Cross. In today's society, followers of Christ, because of the social media age that we're in, and the fact that millions of people around the world have access to us through social media, whether it be by phone, laptop, computer, whatever. And so many people are able to just create platforms to openly just discuss how they feel, attack anybody they want to attack, and just do what they want to do on these platforms. And being a follower of Christ in today's society is very tough, because you can follow God and go out here in this work and make a mistake, and if somebody get it on camera, boom. Now it's put on display for the world to see. You know, 20, 30 years ago, that wasn't a thing. That wasn't a thing where so many of our mistakes, of our sins, just get so publicly broadcasted everywhere. Back in the day, if we created a situation where the mistakes are being made and the person that we make the mistake towards or the sin against, if they felt like we're not remorseful, even if we are remorseful, but if people feel like that you should be held accountable for your wrongdoing and the things that you've done, they'll just put you on blast and talk about it and tell everybody. But in today's society, millions of people can access your sin by the click of a button. You know, when you're dealing with being a Christian in today's society, we have to understand this. We're going to endure some suffering. There's no way around it. We have to ask ourselves, what is it to be anointed without suffering? Think about it. We talk about the sacrifices Jesus made for us, how he died for our sins, but we really need to look at the things that took place that led up to the crucifixion, things that took place on the way to the crucifixion, and the things that took place during the crucifixion. And I'm going to break those things down for you today. Jesus was betrayed by those that walked with him. He was humiliated on the way to the cross, spat on, beaten, and laughed at, mocked. Those he helped along the way never showed up to support him when he needed them the most. Think about that. Those that he supported along the way never showed up to support him when it's obviously that he needed them the most on the way to being crucified. I wonder how many of you out there just listening right now, how many of you just think about it? How many of you are dealing with Always being there for others. Even when you didn't have it. Even when you really didn't have the energy to show up, you showed up anyway. And yet, when it's their turn to show up for you, nobody came. When you need somebody, nobody's knocking at your door. How many of you that are listening right now are the type of friend that gets up, takes off to the aid of others? No questions asked. You go drop what you're doing. You go show up because that's who you are. But ain't nobody showing up for you in the same way. How many of you that are listening that are followers of Christ, that believe in God, are constantly dealing with being looked at funny, laughed at, talked about? And not just by society or your friends, your own family. How many of you are that are listening that are sitting up here thinking about all the times where you just wanted to just give love and show love to others and they rejected you simply because they didn't understand you? These are a lot of things that Jesus dealt with leading up to the crucifixion. I can show you the very ones that walked with him betrayed him. So you got to ask yourself, what makes you exempt? I know that it's tough. I know that it's heartbreaking to accept certain realities of situations. You could love the person to death. You could love a close friend to death. You could love a family member to death. But if there's a situation where they betrayed you, that's the reality of the situation. They betrayed you. They hurt you. And I know it's heartbreaking. And a lot of us will take that. Either we'll internalize it and not deal with it, and it causes us to act out in certain ways, or we'll just completely cut people off. Now, I'm not the one to tell anybody not to protect their peace. But I will say this. You cannot decide to pick up your cross and follow God and not expect to be backstabbed, not expect to be laughed at, not to expect to be misunderstood or mistreated. You got to understand this. When they took Jesus and hung him on the cross, they put nails in his hands and in his feet. They pierced him in his sides, put a crown of thorns on his head. And this is the thing, with all the pain that he endured in everything, he still asked God to forgive them. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If you notice, a lot of us that follow God, you know, we have this thing in us where it's kind of hard for us to fight nasty with nasty when dealing with people. It's hard. And we get frustrated, but I get frustrated. You know, I've been attacked on certain levels where the old me wouldn't dare allow it on any level. The old me, you try me on any level. Oh, it's up. I want all the smoke. It's up. It's up. I'm ready for it. I used to wake up brushing my teeth, hoping somebody try me, ready for some action. But where I am now, and when I decided to pick up my cross and follow Christ, and the journey I've been on, I realized fighting nasty with nasty ain't worth it. I'm going to give you another example. You know, with Jesus actually on the cross and they spitting on him, throwing stuff at him, laughing. They got him bleeding. You know, Jesus had a command of a legion of angels. In an instant, if he would have gave the word, the angels were going to ride down on earth and just wipe out everybody and wipe out everything. But he didn't. Do you not understand? Think about what I just said. While Jesus was on the cross, being mistreated, being beaten, nails in his hands, in his feet, laughed at, humiliated on every level you could think of, And he had a quick solution to get his revenge. But Jesus understood. This is the thing you got to look at. Jesus had to show the world that my revenge is nothing compared to our salvation. His revenge is nothing compared to our salvation. What is revenge? And a lot of you all, think about this. A lot of you all have to accept this when you follow in Christ in today's society. Just listen to me. Please listen to me. You know, when people jump on Facebook, start making them subliminal posts, because you know they talking about you. When they start getting sideways and trying to pick at you and say certain stuff, and you know you got the evidence to just wipe them off the face of the earth. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I'm not saying fall back, be weak, and just get bullied. This is what I'm saying. What I've learned about the internet, so much is happening in this world that everybody has access to. Somebody can put a light on your situation within 5 to 10 minutes. People are moving on to something else, especially when you don't give it any fuel, especially when you don't give it any fire. People are moving on to something else. They, because see, the thing is, when the initial hit happens, when it drops, boom, such and such said this about you. Yeah, everybody looking. You know, you get the little comments, they'll hit the laughing emoji, or they'll comment with the looking eyes. But if you just let it sit, don't respond. You notice that's all it is. And before you know it, that little flame, that little fire that person thought they had when they thought they was going to mess with you and get at you, is gone. It faded out because you didn't fuel the fire. Knowing that you got evidence, knowing that you got the means necessary to just completely take them out. But what does that really represent? I know in our minds, it's like, oh, we go show them, hey, I ain't nothing to play with. Let me just go show them I ain't somebody to play with. But I'm going to tell you this. If you truly understand how the world is set up, listen to me. You're going to be fighting for the rest of your life then. You're going to be fighting for the rest of your life if you truly understand how this world is set up. We can't say this is a wicked world or this is a crazy world and then expect not to be afflicted by stuff, expect not to be picked on, expect not to be laughed at, and then turn around and feel like we got to fight everybody. Baby, you're not going to defeat the world. You can be in this world but not be of it. That means, yeah, you're alive, walking around in society, but that doesn't mean you're aligning yourself with the actions of what they're doing. That's what that means. You cannot fight everybody in the world. You can't. You don't have the capacity to even do that. Think about this. If I put you in the ring and tell you to box somebody for 10 minutes straight, you tired. That's one person. 10 minutes straight, no breaks, you tired. That's one person. Now, how are you going to stand up and have the endurance to fight the whole world? How? If you tired after one boxing match, how? Think about this. As great as a fighter, to me, the greatest boxer of all time, to me, is Mike Tyson. I watched his fights when he was in his prime. You know, I'm growing up watching. And a few of those fights, in the interview, he's still kind of breathing. You know, he's sweating, he's breathing, but he's happy he won. You know, he's kind of tight. And then over time, as he got older, his endurance wasn't the same. And he started losing. That's the thing. Like, you got to understand this. To fight, it takes a lot of energy to fight. It takes a lot of energy to constantly throw punches. And this is the thing in a fight, when you notice, when you're throwing punches and you're doing all these things, and then you look up win, lose, or draw, you tight. And that's just one person. But you got your mind made up. I'm going to fight the world. You don't have the capacity to fight the world. This is the thing. If God does not force the world to love him, how can you sit up here and do the same? Well, how can you figure you just going to fight the world? God don't even get that kind of stuff energy. Why are you doing it? You don't even have the capacity to take on 3% of the responsibility that God has. That's something to think about. You know, while Jesus on that cross, if you would have called them angels to come down, them legion of angels to come down, wipe down everybody, then his death would have been meaningless. Because who would he be sacrificing himself for then at that point? Huh? How can he show who God is if nobody's there to witness it? Think about it. Jesus died for our sins. The payment for our sins is far more valuable than revenge. That's why the divinity that's in you is far more valuable than what you could possibly do to get back at somebody else. The divinity that's in you is far more valuable than what you could possibly do to get back at somebody else. That's what you got to think about. I know it's stressful at times. I know you're tired. I know you're frustrated, but you are anointed. You got to start saying these things to yourself. I'm anointed. You know, if there's signs of that you're anointed, I'm going to show you. And see, we got to get out of this glamorous mindset. And this is the purpose of today in this episode, because I want to start switching a perspective that following Christ is just mean glamorous. And you just walking slow through, you just walking slow down the street dressed in all white with gold shoes on. No, that ain't it. And you know, you just walk by and you just lay down and people feed you grapes and you drink wine. That ain't it. That is not it. To pick up your cross means to sacrifice. This is how you know you're anointed. I'm going to show you. I'm going to just give you some insight. Some gems to take with you. This is how you know you're anointed. When you're constantly talked about and looked at and placed under a microscope, and all you're trying to do is live life like everybody else. When you're constantly being examined for everything that you do, and you ain't trying to do nothing but live life like everybody else. When you have so much love that you constantly give to others and they give you nothing but anger and frustration back in return. When you know you haven't done this person wrong, when you know you haven't done somebody wrong, but yet they go out of their way to try to make life hard for you. When you know you have something within you that comes out where you just know that you are different, but in a good way. When you just want to fully express your difference and you fully want to be yourself, but you get laughed at. When you go out the way to help your family or help close friends, and they don't do, as soon as the door closes, when you leave, they get together and talk about you. Every strike against you. Think about this. When Jesus was on that cross, with every time he got hit, every nail went into his body, he bled. And blood got on that cross. And think about, and to take it a step further, side note, he was hung up there with two thieves. And in the midst of his suffering, humiliation, and being laughed at and mocked, in the midst of him being tired, beat on, bleeding out, he's on his way to death, but guess what? His heart still remained. The goodness of who he is still, because guess what? One of the thieves was just like, hey, and I'm paraphrasing. This ain't what the scriptures exactly say, but I'm paraphrasing. Like, hey, man, look. When you get up there, man, just don't forget about me. Can I come with you? He said, hey, man, look, I want to know, can I come with you? So he said, yeah, you can come. even in the midst of his suffering, he didn't look over and be like, "You're a thief. What are you doing talking to me? I'm Jesus Christ. Why are you talking to me? They beating on me. They putting their nails in me. Why are you talking to me?" And so that's the thing. A lot of us Christians, we got to fix our attitude, because we're going through something that don't mean that we still can't have the heart to still help others. Because we're going through something, that don't mean we can't have the heart to still talk to people and give them insight and help them get somewhere where they need to go. We got to change our attitude. This is what it means to follow Christ. You're going to deal with some suffering, some pain, frustration, heartache, all of those things. That's what it means to follow Christ. We have to change our attitude. Jesus is hanging on the cross between two thieves. And in the midst of everything he's going through, knowing that he got the backup waiting, if he get a word to come in and wipe it out, and he can just get himself off the cross and walk away like ain't nothing happened. Knowing that, you know what? I could just step off of here and just heal myself. No, all of these things. It's all of these possibilities. But his heart remained in the midst of his trouble. His heart remained in the midst of the chaos. He's bleeding on the cross. And he still had the time to talk to a thief in the midst of what he's going through. Those are things we got to think about. Those are things we got to look at. Think about even before he was crucified, leading up to the crucifixion. They made him carry that cross all the way up to the point where he was going to die. They made him care. And see, a lot of us right now are carrying burdens, are carrying things with us. And then while we carrying our burdens, see, this is the frustrating part. This is the frustrating part. As Jesus walks with that cross, I could just see it. I could visualize it. He's walking with that cross and it's heavy. People laughing. They throwing stuff at him. They making it harder than what it has to be for him. But they feel like that's pile on. And that's how the world operates. When they see you down, they really going to pile on you there. And a lot of us has this burden. We carrying it. We walking. This heavy burden, this heavy cross on our back. We walking. Still trusting God. I'm tired, but this burden is heavy. We walking. Getting laughed at. People pointing out what we're going through. People putting it on a public scale. They throwing stuff at you. The ones that helped you, help put you in that city. All that's going on, this the crazy thing. Remember, while you're carrying your heavy burden, those so-called friends you help ain't nowhere to be found. Those very ones that you went out your way for, the very ones that came knocking at your door, the very ones that came crying on your phone, the very ones that's hitting you in the DM, sending you messages on Facebook, tears in their eyes, got a sob story for days, nowhere to be found. We have to remember this, and this is an unpopular truth. But the cross that you are given to carry is your cross. That is, those are your burdens to bear. Can't nobody carry it for you. Can't nobody carry it for you. And as Jesus was on his way to be crucified, carrying that heavy cross, being whipped, laughed at, tripped up on along the way, spit on, people celebrating. And that's the world gonna do. You gonna look around and you gonna notice people are celebrating your downfall, or what they think is your downfall. That's why it's important to don't just fall in love with the hand claps of man, especially when you're the one just doing something for somebody. Don't fall in love with the hand claps. Stay connected to your heart and your purpose. Then it don't matter if you're up or down. You won't let the crowd waver your faith. You won't let the crowd get in your head and have you thinking that who you are and what you're about and what you're doing was in vain. Stay true to who you are. Stay true to yourself. Stay connected to your heart and stay connected to God and understand your purpose. See, Jesus endured so much because he understood the purpose. He endured Judas betraying him because he understood his purpose. He endured the other disciples denying that they even know him. Some of us have dealt with that. I've dealt with that. Friends that have walked with me for years, done been with me through all the BS. When we was just out here doing what we want to do. We just living life, having fun, didn't care about consequences. But when it hit the fan, when it got real, and dark moments showed up in my life, they denied that they knew. They denied. They distanced themselves. They cut affiliation. And people would do that to you. The ones that stick with you through your darkest times, that is your circle. That is your family. That is your family. The ones that stick with you without judgment. And this is the thing. Sticking with you does not mean they're supposed to carry your burden. Listen to me. Sticking with you means, hey, you know what? Though they going through this, but guess what? You can't talk about that person around me. I don't care what they going through. Somebody that got your back when they not in your presence. That's your family. Whether you related or not, that's your family. We got too many fair weather friends connected to us. Too many of these so-called friends that they only around for the good, for the highs. But then when the lows come, they jump off ship and they get with everybody else that's laughing at you. If all the people that Jesus helped along this journey in life before his crucifixion was to show up during the crucifixion probably wouldn't have happened. But it had to. It had to. Because who's going to pay the wages of our sin? We couldn't do it ourselves. So the fact that they were scared, the fact that they wasn't real about loving Jesus and following him and, you know, following God and all the things that they were saying when Jesus helped them. And, you know, you get a lot of thank yous and loyalties when people are getting what they want from you. But what happens when it's no longer convenient for them to be connected to you? Majority of people will fall off. The 12 that Jesus chose, amongst them, some fell off. You know, people, and just a side note, I was thinking about something as I was reading up on some things and studying, you know, it's because I look at things a little differently. And this is interesting to me. When Judas betrayed Jesus, when he betrayed Jesus for the amount of money or whatever, and, you know, to us, we're looking at like, that ain't a lot for what he betrayed him for. You betrayed Jesus for what? You know, you betrayed Jesus. You need to be filthy rich. You got to understand this. Judas didn't fully know the plan. So he couldn't gauge the value of the person he was giving up. I'm going to say this again. Judas didn't fully know the plan for Jesus and what he was really sent there to do. So he couldn't fully gauge the value of who he was giving up. And that's what you got to think about. Friends that walked away from you, turned their back on you, betrayed you, they don't fully know the plan for your life. So they cannot gauge the price of what it was going to be for them to betray you. Because they don't know who they really dealing with. That's the thing. Judas didn't fully know the plan. He didn't know that Jesus was supposed to just die for everybody's sins and then come back. He didn't know none of that. And the person that betrayed you, they don't know. They don't know that you, after all the stuff you're dealing with, you go come up and start your own business and now you go be a six-figure income maker and you're gonna be able to travel the world and help people all over the world. They don't know that. They don't know that you are next in line for a big promotion on your job. They don't know that. They don't know you next in line to get your dream home. They don't know you next in line to get that car that you always talked about getting. They don't know. They don't know that you gave birth to a child that's destined to be an NBA star. They don't know that you gave birth to a child that's destined to be a doctor. They don't know you gave birth to a child that's destined to be a great lawyer. They don't know. They don't know the plan for your life. They don't know the plan for your life. That's why they can't gauge the value of who you really are. People really don't know your full plan. So next time you deal with someone that betrays you, you just simply got to tell them, you don't really know my value, and that's okay. We got to get so mad because, you know, I hear people all the time and you know, and they say, well, they didn't really know my value. They didn't really know. How could they? Because in a lot of cases, we don't even know what we fully about to step into ourselves. So how can the person that's not us fully know? When a betrayal happens, it's a blessing. It's all working for your good. And that's the thing we got to keep in mind. You know, everything following God is a sacrifice. You know, you think about if you get a chance, look in your Bible. And if you read Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to all, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Daily. Key word, daily and follow me. Daily. This is an everyday thing you got to do. Your cross is precious to you. Because it's specifically designed for you and for your struggles and for your pains and for your suffering. So you can't just put it down and pick it up when necessary. Because the pain and the suffering is what you have to endure when it's not necessary. When it's an inconvenience to you. And even in those moments, guess what? You still have to be like Jesus on the cross and show your heart for someone that's next to you, that hasn't even endured what you endured, that hasn't even accomplished what you accomplished in life, that hasn't even done the deeds that you've done, but yet and still you have to show your heart. And that's what we got to start wrapping our minds around in today's society. Even in Mark, if you go to the Bible, even in Mark chapter 8, verse 34, and calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what it means to deny yourself? Stop having a pity party about what happened to you. Know what it means to deny yourself? Don't make it about how you feel about what happened. Make it about the purpose. To deny yourself means to focus solely on the purpose. That's what it means. To focus solely on the purpose. Deny yourself. In Matthew 10, verse 38, it says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. How can you follow God without your cross? That is why you go back to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, when it says, take up your cross daily. So that means every day. Every day. So how can you decide to follow God today? And you not pick up your cross. Pick up your cross. If you're a follower of God, if you're a follower of Christ, pick up that cross. I know what they did to you hurt, and I know it's frustrating. I know you're bleeding right now. But blood stains on your cross is proof of your suffering. It's proof. But if you lay your cross down and it has no stains on it, how can you pick it up and show it to others? This is the thing. You show your cross to someone with the stains and scars that's on it, and people still see you standing. smile on your face, joy in your heart. Only explanation is God. That is why you have to pick up your cross. That is why you have to pick up your cross. It's important. What is it to be anointed without suffering? Are you really anointed? Are you really chosen if you ain't never been through nothing? And when I say been through something, we got to get out of the mindset of thinking that everybody struggled the same. Everybody struggles designed for them, for their own development. So what I go through may not be what you go through, but it doesn't mean it's any more, any less significant. We cannot compare. God never told us to walk around and compare scars. He said, show them. When one of the disciples was questioning if Jesus was resurrected, did he really come back from the dead? Jesus showed up to him, walked up to him. Jesus didn't gloat. He just say, see, I told you I'd be back, boy. He showed him his scars. Our scars are validation. And that's what we got to start doing. We got to start validating one another when we have scars. When I see your scar, you see mine, let's validate each other. Let's validate, like, okay, what you went through with that, I see that it hurt you, but you made it through. That's what we got to start telling each other. Not, well, you know, I can think of a time when I went through something. And, you didn't go through what I go through. So what you mad for about what you dealing with? Yeah, oh, you been through that? Oh, that ain't nothing compared to what I've been through. We got to stop doing that. Show me where God say compare the scars. You can't. Because everybody struggle, everybody cross, everybody burdens, everybody suffering is designed for their walk of life. You know, I lost my mother at a young age, but I'm still here. Been through a lot of things, lost people that I loved and care about, made a lot of mistakes. I've been in jail before. I've been locked up before. I may not have done a bid like other people that are listening or, you know, but the little time that I did spend, it changed my process of thinking. It helped me. Because I know I ain't want to be there no more. You know, I've been in fights before. Life on the line. Situations. Situations where I've been out with people. And somebody I'm with getting shot at. I've been there, done that. And it's not something that I say, oh, look what, but I'm just showing that so many things transpired in my life that is just nothing but evidence that God is real. That's what I'm saying. God is real. And that's why he says pick up our cross daily. That's why we have to deal with the suffering. That's why you got blood on your cross. Blood on your cross is proof of what you've been through. It's almost like a rite of passage, you know. So again, pick up your cross daily and follow him. Because what is being anointed without suffering? That is why you got blood on the cross. This is Doug Chowers, and I want to say thank you for tuning in and listening to Keep It Cool Christian Podcast. And I pray that you have a great and wonderful day.